Here's the gavel. I call Senate Resources Committee to order. Today is Monday, February 2nd, 2026, and the time is 3:30 p.m. Please turn off your cell phones. Committee members present, Senator Rauscher, Senator Klayman, Senator Kawasaki, Senator Myers, Vice Chair Senator Kawasaki, and I'm Senator Giesel. I expect Senator Dunbar along shortly. What did I say?
You said Vice Chair Kawasaki.
Yes.
I did. Please correct the record. That's Senator Wilikowski is the Vice Chair, and Senator Dunbar has joined us. We have a quorum to conduct business. Thank you, Heather, and thank you, Jude, who are helping us out keeping the minutes and correcting my mistakes and helping us with the audio. So today our presentation continues on the gas line subject. Today we're going to hear from the producers on the North Slope. And so we have three individuals who are going to speak to us. I'm going to start today with a representative from ExxonMobil. Her name is Kay Zingrabi, I'm guessing. I'm sorry, but you'll correct me. I know. She is upstream commercial and business development with ExxonMobil and the lead commercial negotiator for gas sales with Glenfarne. So, welcome. And if you would help me with the pronunciation of your name.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Giesel and members of the Senate Resources Committee. For the record, my name is Kay Zingrabe. As Chair Giesel mentioned, I work in upstream commercial and business development for ExxonMobil, and I am the lead for the North Slope Natural Gas Commercial Negotiations. Thank you for the opportunity to address the committee this afternoon. And Chair Giesel, in your invitation to appear today, you indicated your desire for ExxonMobil to place on record our answer to the question, is ExxonMobil willing to sell gas from the North Slope? And the answer is yes. ExxonMobil has and will continue to make its gas available to any project under bilateral, mutually agreed, commercially reasonable terms. In fact, over the years, ExxonMobil has entered into a gas sales agreement with Fairbanks Natural Gas, a gas sale precedent agreement with AGDC, a gas sale precedent agreement with Keelak Project, and currently we sell North Slope gas to other North Slope developers. And as announced last week, ExxonMobil and Glenfarne have agreed to a gas sale precedent agreement for Alaska LNG Phase 1. While we have a confidentiality agreement, cannot comment on specific gas sale terms, we can confirm that the precedent agreement addresses both gas price and volumes. So in closing, ExxonMobil is working to help make the Alaska LNG project successful. And we're pleased to have completed this gas sale precedent agreement for Phase 1. We are committed to work with Glenfarne to finalize a gas sales agreement later this year and begin negotiating the additional agreements for Phase 2. So ExxonMobil looks forward to the progress of the Alaska LNG project. And if completed, we believe both the state of Alaska and ExxonMobil will benefit. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Zingrabe. I know that you probably can't answer a lot of questions, but there could be some from the committee that you might be able to answer. So let me see. Committee members, any questions?
Real quick.
Okay. Senator Myers.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So as somebody not as familiar with the business side of gas sales, I'm sorry, the term you used to the agreement that you have come to so far, I'm already forgetting what that was. But if I'm understanding correctly, that's basically we've entered in an agreement to work on it. It's not finalized yet. You're still working on the details of the price and the volumes and so on, but you've effectively agreed to work on it. Is that correct?
Thank you, Senator Myers, through the chair. We called the agreement a gas sale precedent agreement, and through that, we have agreed to the price and volume.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Senator Kawasaki.
Thank you. Thanks for being here today. Can you tell me, under that precedent, or was the precedent agreement one of the requirements under the 2012 Palin lawsuit?
And Senator Kawasaki, through the chair, I am not able to answer that question. I do not know.
Follow up?
Well, I guess if she's not sure if it was, I don't know whether it was part of the agreement or if it was something that Exxon had pledged to do. And I guess we're not today able to know the terms at this point. Is that correct? The terms meaning the volumes?
You are correct, Senator Kawasaki,
yeah.
Through the chair.
Okay.
Because we have a confidentiality agreement in place with Glenfarne, I am not at liberty to share the specific volumes that we agreed to.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Further questions? Senator Klayman.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. You described it as a gas sale precedent agreement, and before you talked about the Glenfarne agreement, you identified three or four other agreements that Exxon has entered into historically. Were those all gas sale precedent agreements?
Was that Senator Klayman?
Yes, it was Senator Klayman.
Did I say that correctly through the chair? Those prior agreements, some of them were gas sale precedent agreements and some were gas sale, full gas sale agreements. So a mix historically.
Follow-up?
Just one follow-up. Thank you, Madam Chair. And then the only other query, if I were sitting in either Exxon's boardroom or Glenfarne's senior management boardroom, in both instances, both sides of that negotiation would be able to know price and volume.
Senator Klayman, through the chair, yes. Both sides know the price and the volume through that agreement.
Thank you.
Other questions? Senator Wilkowski.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Where does Exxon expect to get their gas from? Is it Point Thompson or another location?
Senator Wilkowski, through the chair. The specific location of that is also part of the agreement that's confidential. I will say it probably will become obvious through time.
Follow up?
Will Exxon be required to develop new infrastructure to get this gas to market?
Senator Wilkowski, through the chair, the answer to that for phase one is no. Small capital project to tie in to the Glenfarne facilities, but no additional development is needed within that field to enable this gas sale for phase one.
Follow up, Senator Wilkowski.
Will the gas that is being produced by Exxon impact its reservoir in other ways to the point where it could impact production of oil or condensate?
And Senator Wilkowski through the chair. So I'm not the reservoir engineer. I'm the commercial negotiator, so I could not answer that specifically.
Follow up, Senator Wilkowski.
Is the gas sale precedent agreement a binding agreement?
Senator Wilkowski through the chair. There are terms in the gas sale precedent agreement that are binding if certain condition precedents are met.
Follow up.
What are those condition precedents?
And Senator Wilkowski through the chair, because the specific condition precedents are part of the agreement, we're bound by our confidentiality with Glenfarne, but I can attest that they are generally industry standard condition precedents that are often used in agreements like this.
Follow up.
In 2014, Exxon was part of the contingent of producers that had explored a project that would build the gas pipeline. I believe it was Exxon, BP, and Conoco. And it was deemed 2 years after the announcement to be uneconomic at a $45 to $65 billion price tag. And I'm curious if in your experience, prices since 2016 have generally for building pipelines and producing gas have gone up, have increased, stayed the same, or decreased in general?
And Senator Wilkowski through the chair, Yes, it's true. ExxonMobil and BP together developed and designed the original AKA LNG project. There's a lot of design files available. Because there's been inflation since then, we could assume that prices would be higher, but I'm not on the development team who might be looking at that. I'm not part of the Glenfarne team who's assessing that.
Follow up.
And I'm just curious, if it was uneconomic in 2016 at $45 to $65 billion, and I think it's fair to say prices have increased with inflation probably fairly significantly, what are your thoughts on why it might be suddenly viable this year?
Senator Wilikowski, through the chair, there could be a lot of factors in the marketplace. The LNG market is different today than it was then, and I think any company developing an LNG project at any given time would look at the anticipated global market for LNG at that time. Today, different from then. I'm not in the LNG team, so I couldn't tell you specifically how different it is in the coming years versus the 2014-2015 timeframe.
Follow up.
And that was my next question, was how, I'm curious, how does the LNG market compare today versus 10 years ago? Do you have any ideas what the prices would have been then and what they are projected?
Senator Wilikowski, through the chair. So at that time in 2014, I was not in our LNG business. I'm not today either. So I would not be able to compare those numbers since I'm the commercial negotiator for this project.
Follow up.
And on the, and without divulging what the price is, I'm curious if the price is based on a market price, or is it based on a cost of service rate, a fixed cost of service rate to ensure low cost energy for Alaskans, or is it tied to the global LNG demand?
And Senator Wilikowski, through the chair, in this phase one, there's no LNG market per se that may be coming in the future. But I think ExxonMobil, like most companies, we consider all factors, from our cost of supply to what the market could bear at that time. So we look at all.
Follow up.
I guess what I'm trying to get at is the concern we've heard is the concern from the ratepayers, the consumers, and how this might impact their energy prices in South Central, Fairbanks, all of it down the railroad. And I guess that's an important question, at least for me, and I think probably everyone sitting up here in the state. How, is it a fixed price, or is it going to fluctuate based on LNG demand? In other words, if LNG prices spike to $30 an MCF, does that mean, or an MMBTU, does that mean their local consumers will see their prices spike even though the gas is only in phase one is only being shipped in state? Or is it more of a fixed price based on your development costs?
Senator Wilikowski, through the chair, that is a great question. Because it is specifically part of the terms of the agreement, and because of our confidentiality agreement, I'm not able to specify whether it's fixed price or a variable price.
Follow up.
If I could, Madam Chair. So if global prices spike, does your contract prioritize the 30-year supply letter of intent with NSTAR at a capped rate, or will Alaskans possibly be outbid by foreign buyers?
And Senator Wilikowski, through the chair again, I'm not able to comment on the price specifically.
I'll defer to others who may have.
Senator Dunbar.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Ms. Ingrabe, for being here. So companies like ExxonMobil and the other large producers, they make long-term decisions and long-term investments. And they also make those investments based on probabilities, right? Whether you're drilling a well or you're choosing to go into Venezuela, whatever it is, you're playing the odds. You have to. And so my question is, how likely does Exxon think this project is to go forward? And more to the point, are you making investment decisions now, you know, shifting capital for perhaps, to prepare for an AK LNG project?
Senator Balcon, through the chair, thank you for that question. I don't sit in our development planning company, who does assess that very closely. As the commercial negotiator, I'm not the best person to answer that.
Follow up, Senator Dunbar.
Well, I hope, Madam Chair, we can have someone from the producers here eventually that could answer that question, because that really is the policy question before us as a committee. We can't get inside those contracts that you're negotiating, and perhaps we shouldn't, but we all have to have a shared understanding about whether or not this project is actually going to go forward. And you know, this the fact that you've negotiated this contract might be an indicator that it is more likely to go forward. Then again, it might be something that ExxonMobil does in a lot of cases, even when they think that it's a long shot. I don't know if there's a question there, but that is really what we're trying to understand here is this project actually going to go forward or not? Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Dunbar. Senator Kawasaki, have your question.
Yes, thank you. Thanks again for being here. We had a little bit of discussion about whether there would be a fixed rate. And I'm wondering if in the calculation that you make as Exxon, if you have sort of, since you're not allowed to tell us whether what that rate is, if you have discussed that it could go be up or down or at a certain range when you're developing your cost analysis.
Senator Kawasaki, through the chair. Our development planning team did do an extensive analysis, and we were able to conclude a price in the contract. So because of that analysis, we were able to finalize a price.
And then follow up.
Follow up, Senator Kawasaki.
So whether it's a fixed or variable to, say, consumers in the Fairbanks area is sort of an important feature in the whole LNG or the whole pipeline itself, but definitely the one that stops in Fairbanks. And so the question is, do you think that the rates are going to be dependent on Regulatory Commission of Alaska rates or whether they'll be FERC regulated? And that's just on the in-state pipeline and facilities, associated facilities. And I don't know if the facilities are appropriated toward based on apportionment.
And Senator Kawasaki, through the chair, I'm familiar with those organizations in Alaska, but I do not know the methodologies that they use to determine their view on the price. I only know what we negotiated with Glenfarne.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Wilkowski.
Is the sales agreement that you have, or the gas sale precedent agreement, is it for Exxon to sell gas to Glenfarne, or is it for Exxon to sell gas to another buyer?
Senator Wilkowski, through the chair, the agreement that ExxonMobil wrote is with 8-Star, which is held 75% by Glenfarne, 25% by AGDC. Those are the two parties to that agreement.
Senator Wilkowski, I'm going to interject a clarifying piece for the committee that I've discovered. You know, on Friday we had at the end of the meeting the question of who is 8-Star. We don't even know who's on it, etc. And 15 minutes later, of course, we got an answer who's on 8-Star. I sent it to each of your offices, but for the public, 8-Star has 4 members. 2 of them are with Glenfarne. 1 is Brendan Duvall. He's the CEO of Glenfarne. Adam Prestige is the executive vice president of Glenfarne. So that's 2 of the 4 members. Frank Richards is on 8-Star. He is with AGDC. And the fourth person is Janet Weiss. She is there as a public member to represent the Alaska public. By chance, she is also on the AGDC board. So that's who 8-Star is. And they are the people that as Ms. Zingrabe just said, they're the people that actually are over this whole project. Glen Farne is the private entity that's developing this, with whom the gas owners, the holders of the leases that are developing our gas, we own the gas, let's clarify that, they're dealing with Glen Farne. She is correct in saying that 8-Star is over this whole project. Further questions, Senator Wilkowski?
Yeah, thank you. On that point, looking at the Glen Farne press release that they put out on January 23rd, they said Glen Farne has executed a gas sales precedent agreement with ExxonMobil. Is that an error? Should that say 8-Star has executed an agreement? Or is Glen Farne and 8-Star the same company to you when you're negotiating with 8-Star? Is it as if you're negotiating with Glen Farne? Maybe you can explain that to us.
Sure. Senator Wilkowski, through the chair. Yes, actually, at the negotiating table, there are members from both. So I work directly with Glen Farne, and an AGDC member was present in those negotiations as well. So the agreement is written with 8-Star. It's signed by one of the executive vice presidents from Glen Farne, who has the authority to sign the agreement on behalf of 8-Star.
Follow up.
And then one of the things that we're trying to figure out is the cost, because there's concern about cost overruns and having them essentially all be picked up by consumers, the ratepayers. And I know you can't tell us what the price is, but I think in Cook Inlet they're currently paying anywhere from $8 to $13 an MCF. I mean, is the all-in price to the consumer expected with this deal to be competitive with current prices or significantly raise gas prices in South Central?
Senator Wilkowski, through the chair, I'm not able to answer that question in detail. I only know pieces of the puzzle. Even our development planning division, because we're ExxonMobil, we can't see all of the costs. Glen Farne has not revealed to us their anticipated costs.
Follow up? Other questions? Senator Kawasaki, you had brought up the question of FERC versus RCA. And we are going to have RCA before the committee on Wednesday. It is my understanding that the FERC oversees and permits the building of the infrastructure, that is the pipeline. But RCA will regulate the price, just as they regulate the generated price from Chugach or 8-Star or anyone else. We'll certainly ask RCA more detail on that on Wednesday, just to confirm that. Seeing no further questions, Ms. Zingrabe, thank you for being with us today. I appreciate you fielding these questions, and I appreciate you telling us what you can. So thank you very much being here. Second up today is Hillcorp. It is represented today by Denali Kempel. She's the vice president of Hillcorp Alaska, and she is online. So, welcome, Ms. Kempel.
Hello and good afternoon. I am online. There I go. Perfect. Good afternoon, Chair Giesel, Vice Chair Wilkowski, and members of the Senate Resources Committee. Thank you for the invitation to appear before you today to share Hillcorp Alaska's perspective on providing gas sales to the Alaska LNG project. that's currently being advanced by Glen Farne in partnership with the state of Alaska. For the record, my name is Denali Kempel, very proud to be born and raised in Alaska, and I am the vice president for Hillcorp Alaska. As Exxon mentioned previously, you know, much of the information surrounding these negotiations remains confidential and is ongoing. We do appreciate the opportunity to provide some insight today into the discussions and our recently signed gas sales precedent agreement with Glen Farne. This testimony is intended to comply with that confidentiality agreement, and so may be more limited in scope, especially as ongoing commercial limitations exist at this time. I understand there may be various questions related to AK LNG gas line specifics, and these questions around permitting, commercial structures, and project timelines really are more properly directed towards Glen Farne, 8-Star, and AGDC. But with that context, we do appreciate the opportunity to be here today and talk about the role that North Slope Gas can play in Alaska's long-term energy security. So Hillcorp shares the excitement that a lot of Alaskans have regarding the ongoing project and the Alaska LNG pipeline. Bringing North Slope Gas to the project in a partnership with the state of Alaska and Glen Farne is an important thing. And since the announcement with Glen Farne and the state, not the announcement last week, but the original announcement, Hillcorp has been in pretty steady discussions with Glen Farne regarding potential gas supply contracts. As many of you may be aware, Hillcorp has focused its North Slope commercial efforts on the fields where it operates and fields in which there are we fully control the gas resource or have the highest quality gas. And we've done this very specifically to ensure that the focus remains on the lowest cost of supply to the project, particularly in the context of phase one gas sales. So these discussions at the Hillcorp level around potential gas supply have really focused on North Star, Endicott, and Point Thompson. So consistent with those efforts, Hillcorp recently entered into a phase one gas sales precedent agreement with Glen Farne. This executed gas sales precedent agreement is for gas with the North Star unit. We continue to work with Glen Farne on a similar agreement for Point Thompson gas. Hillcorp Alaska's SVP Luke Stoje publicly shared when we signed the gas sales precedent agreement, and he noted that we're pleased to partner with Glen Farne on this critical infrastructure project. Entering into the phase one gas sales precedent agreement is an important step towards moving the gas to market and to reliable energy to in-state customers and helping it address the decline in the Cook Inlet assets. We're really proud to serve as an anchor gas supplier, committing early volumes on competitive terms to move the project forward. Market predictability, supported by stable, consistent regulatory fiscal environment, remains important to all of Hillcorp's projects. So Hillcorp really views this agreement as an important early step in phase one of the project. We remain open to future gas supply volumes at commercially reasonable prices as project phasing, commercial structures, and investment decisions continue to evolve. We also, though, remain committed to Cook Inlet and developing our leasehold there to provide reliable, steady gas for South Central Alaska. Cook Inlet remains a really important component of Alaska's energy system, and we'll continue to invest there while also exploring opportunities to develop the North Slope gas. Appreciate the committee's continued engagement on Alaska's energy future. We look forward to working collaboratively with policymakers, the state of Alaska, and the project partners, including Glen Farne, to advance solutions that are durable, market-based, and beneficial for Alaskans over the long term. That concludes my testimony. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kempel. Committee members, questions? Senator Wilkowski.
Thank you. Has the AOGCC approved the withdrawal of gas from the reservoirs that you anticipate using for this gas?
Senator Wilkowski, through the chair, the AOGCC does have a conservation order, which is still current and still stands. I believe that the 2015 order remains still in effect today.
Follow up?
I don't. And you said, was it Endicott was the main one?
North Star?
Senator Wilkowski, through the chair, North Star.
North Star, I'm sorry. Are there other working entities at North Star that would require you to get approval from them to withdraw gas?
Hillcorp is the entity for North Star Gas.
Okay. So I know in like Prudhoe, my understanding of the working agreement there is it's Hillcorp, Exxon, Conoco, and it requires consensus, all three to agree. Is that how it works at Prudhoe?
Yeah, Senator Wilkowski, through the chair, that is correct. At Prudhoe, we have other working interest owners in Conoco and ExxonMobil, and we are subject to a joint operating agreement there.
Okay. So
follow up.
So none of the fields that you're seeking reservoir withdrawal, gas withdrawal, have other working interest groups that would require their consent?
Senator Wilkowski, through the chair, for phase one, Hillcorp has signed the gas sales precedent agreement for North Star, where we are the only operator there. As it respects to Point Thompson, we do share Point Thompson with ExxonMobil, and we have not signed a gas sales precedent agreement on Point Thompson, but we are working to do so. Point Thompson does have some nice characteristics on gas. So that's why we are working on Point Thompson.
So, Ms. Campbell, you just referred to my question was. Phase one is the pipeline. My understanding is that phase two is the treatment facility, and considered phase three is the export facility. The three pieces of this complete project. So for phase one, North Star Gas has CO2 in it. That means it'll have to be treated on the North Slope, which of course is part of a second piece of the infrastructure for this. Can you explain where that fits in?
Certainly, Chair Giesel, thank you for the question. Phase one is really looking at in-state usage, but as respects to your question about CO2 treatment as it relates to North Star, Hillcorp Alaska is selling gas to Glenfarne at the lease. And so what happens from the gas in terms of treatment and facilities and the like is really a question we're properly directed to Glenfarne.
Very good. I understand that. Very good. So it will be up to Glenfarne to determine whether they need to create or build a gas treatment plant on the North Slope to transport the North Star gas. Thank you. Further questions from committee members? Senator Wilkowski.
Yeah, and I know you're bound by your confidentiality provisions, but I'll tell you why I'm not going to ask the question, because Hillcorp controls 90% of leases in Cook Inlet. And so I'm curious what percentage of the gas Hillcorp is committing to this project. Is it and I'm concerned for monopoly reasons, because we've got to protect our consumers in up and down the rail belt. And are there any FCC concerns that you're aware of, FTC concerns rather, that you've explored or that you're concerned about through your gas sales, and what percentage of the gas is Hillcorp providing to this project?
Senator Wilkowski, through the chair, really essentially that's a volume question, and we are not able to discuss that at this time. Price and volumes are subject to the confidentiality agreement.
Further questions? Yes, Senator Dunbar.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So going off of Senator Wilikowski's question, although I understand you can't speak about volumes, but let's assume that the Alaska LNG gets built and you are providing the maximum volume that's allowed in the contract. Do you anticipate reducing your investments in Cook Inlet? And if so, does it drop to zero? I mean, is that sort of Hilcorp's anticipated they will stop producing significant gas in the inlet?
Senator Dunbar, through the chair, thank you for the question. You know, Hilcorp remains very committed to the Cook Inlet, you know, drilling over 20 wells in the last several years, including this year. So Hilcorp continues to invest in the Cook Inlet.
Follow up, Chair.
Senator Dunbar.
I understand that, Ms. Kemple, and of course, we are hoping that they continue to do that in the short to medium term. But if Alaska National, if AKLNG comes online, then do you anticipate winding down your business in the inlet?
Senator Dunbar, through the chair, again, Hilcorp Alaska remains very committed to the Cook Inlet.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Senator Wilikowski.
Yeah, thank you. And I know last year, I believe Hilcorp testified that they would provide a jackup rig to Hex Fury. And my understanding is that there's have since placed some limitations on the use of that jackup rig. Can you talk about that?
Senator Wilikowski, through the chair, really here today to talk about the gas sales from the North Slope, but of course, happy to follow up on that outside of the hearing.
So you'll get us
follow up, Senator Wilikowski.
You'll provide us information on that because we do have a gas crisis right now in Cook Inlet, and I feel pretty comfortable in saying that Hilcorp said publicly they would provide that jackup rig. And I don't know if it's true or not that you've changed the terms since that hearing. Is that accurate?
Senator Wilikowski, through the chair, again, you know, here to talk about the gas line and gas from North Slope, but we do have a contract with Hex Fury for this year for Hex Fury to use the jackup rig.
So, Ms. Kemple, if you could supply a clarification on that, on Senator Wilikowski's question, send it to my office. I'll distribute it to the rest of the committee, and it will be posted for the public on our website for Senate resources. Further questions, Senator Wilikowski? No? All right. Looks like no additional questions. Thank you very much, Ms. Kemple, for joining us today.
Thank you.
All right. So that takes us to our third presenter today, and that is Caroline Schultz. She is the Government Affairs Director with ConocoPhillips, and she's here in person. Welcome, Ms. Schultz.
Thank you, Chair Giesel and members of the Senate Resources Committee. Thank you for having me here today. I have a letter written to the committee that was authored by Barry Romberg. He's the Vice President of Commercial and Midstream for ConocoPhillips Alaska. And with the permission of the chair, I would like to read that letter to the committee.
That would be great, Ms. Schultz.
Thank you. So thank you for your inquiry about ConocoPhillips' involvement in the commercialization of North Slope gas. ConocoPhillips' primary focus in Alaska is growing production from the North Slope through its exploration and production activities. While we have no plans to directly invest in the Alaska LNG project, or the project, we believe that other companies in the midstream and LNG markets are well-suited to deliver the project in an efficient manner, and we will continue to support in our role as a gas supplier. We collaborate in the project through our historic work with AGDC and now Glenfarne, and have been in commercial discussions with them on a gas sales agreement since December 2025. We understand that AGDC split the project into two phases in 2024. Phase one will include an 800-mile, 42-inch gas pipeline from the North Slope to Nikiski, supplying Alaska residential and industrial customers. Phase two will involve a 20 MTPA, or million tons per annum, LNG plant in Nikiski and a CO2 sequestration plant on the North Slope. We are currently in active, constructive negotiations with Glenfarne on gas sales agreements for both phase one and phase two of the project. We understand that priority gas for phase one will be sourced from areas east of the Prudhoe Bay unit, where ConocoPhillips has no ownership interest. Priority gas for phase one will be primarily sourced from fields with low CO2 content, compared to 12% at Prudhoe Bay, which has the highest CO2 content gas on the North Slope. Sourcing lower CO2 gas will mean significantly lower CO2 removal costs, so it makes sense that non-Prudhoe gas is the higher priority for phase one. ConocoPhillips is a 36.5% owner of the Prudhoe Bay unit and is participating in negotiations with Glenfarne for major gas sales for phase two. There are substantial and well-understood volumes of gas at Prudhoe Bay, sufficient to supply the 20 MTPA volumes of LNG premised for phase two for decades into the future. ConocoPhillips will be involved in any major gas sales when Prudhoe Bay gas is needed for phase two implementation. ConocoPhillips believes LNG has an important role to play in providing energy on a global scale, both in terms of energy security and meeting global demand. And the project is a significant development that could provide a concrete path forward for commercializing the abundant natural gas on Alaska's North Slope. The significant gas resources on the North Slope have been the focus of commercialization efforts for many years. Alaska is the closest U.S. shipping point to energy markets in the Indo-Pacific and previously was a reliable LNG export site for LNG shipped to Japan for over 50 years. Please reach out if you or the committee have additional questions. And that letter was signed by Barry Romberg, Vice President of ConocoPhillips Alaska Commercial and Midstream.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Schultz? Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you. So reading between the lines, it looks like Conoco's not investing because of the CO2 content of their fields. Is that fair to say?
Senator Wilikowski, I am happy to respond to that question in writing after this hearing.
Follow-up, Senator Wilikowski.
So I'm just looking at the letter that you just read. You said Prudhoe Bay has 12% CO2. The other priority gas for phase one will be primarily sourced from fields with low CO2 content. And the other fields that are managed by Conoco are Alpine and Kuparuk, I believe, and the Willow Project. Do you know what the CO2 rates? And correct me if I'm wrong on those, but are there other fields that have lower CO2 rates that Conoco is the working interest group, interest party on?
Through the chair to Senator Wilikowski, it is correct that ConocoPhillips is the operator for the Kuparuk and Alpine fields and the developer of the Willow Project. I cannot speak to the CO2 content at those fields. I do not know those off the top of my head, but we can provide that to the committee.
Further questions, Senator Wilikowski?
Yeah. So what are we to take from the fact that Hilcorp has committed gas and Exxon has committed gas and Conoco has not? What are we to take from that?
Through the chair to Senator Wilikowski, ConocoPhillips is involved in negotiations with Glenfarne on gas sales for both phase one and phase two of this project.
Further questions from committee members? Senator Kawasaki.
Yeah, more of a technical question. If you can't answer this, that's fine. Can gas with a low CO2 be mixed with a gas with a higher level of CO2 to basically still allow it to be processed or sent through a pipeline without the gas treatment phase?
Through the chair to Senator Kawasaki, yes, my rudimentary understanding of mixing gases is that if you mix a higher CO2 and a lower CO2, you end up with a middle CO2 content.
Senator Wilikowski, question?
Is Conoco taking any action to build to sequester or remove the carbon at the Alpine or Kuparuk or Willow fields?
Through the chair to Senator Wilikowski, ConocoPhillips is not engaged in any CO2 removal of gas at any of the fields that we are currently operating.
Follow-up, Senator Wilikowski.
How long of a process is that if Conoco were to say, okay, we want to start sequestering or building a gas treatment plant to pull out the carbon at any one of its fields? Are we talking 6 months, a year, 5 years? How long of a process is that?
Through the chair to Senator Wilikowski, I don't know the answer to that off the top of my head, but happy to respond to the committee with that information.
Senator Wilikowski, I want to inject something here. a pun here with sequestration. DNR sent out their annual report today on gas sequestration, and they're still writing the regulations for it. So that may be the answer to that question related to CO2 sequestration on the North Slope. Are there further questions?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Dunbar.
Thank you for being here, Ms. Schultz. So the letter references active constructive negotiations with Glenfarne. How long have those negotiations been going on?
Through the chair to Senator Dunbar, the letter specifies that we have been negotiating with initially AGDC since 2025.
24. Follow up,
Senator Dunbar.
25.
Oh, you're right. It's 2026 now. That's right. I guess, can you give a sense of what month they started, if that's possible? And then also going to questions I believe the chair had earlier. Is it actually Glenfarne that Conoco is negotiating with, or is it 8-Star? And is there any kind of important distinction there?
Through the chair to Senator Dunbar, I don't know that off the top of my head, but I'm happy to get back to the committee with that information.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any further questions? Seeing none, thank you very much, Ms. Schultz.
Thank you.
So my takeaway from this meeting is that we need to have AGDC come before this committee. Now, my reason for saying that is, knowing now what 8-Star is comprised of, two Glenfarne members, one AGDC person who is apparently there to represent the state of Alaska, and there's a public member to whom the public could actually communicate their concerns, as well as all of us, of course. I will try to get an email contact for Janet Weiss, the public member, so that the public has that input. But that is what constitutes 8-Star. But I think we need to have Mr. Richards come and answer some of the questions as far as how he is representing the state of Alaska's interests in these things. The question about gas treatment on the North Slope, I think we heard from DNR that North Star has CO2 in it, whereas Point Thompson is much less CO2, probably can be used without any kind of removal of the CO2. It's such a small amount. I believe it's 4% or less. But at the same time, if I'm not mistaken, we were told that there was no gas pipeline from Point Thompson to Prudhoe. So that seems to be a challenge as far as getting the gas there, right? At the same time that it would be not a tremendous task to build that gas pipeline. So that is something I will pursue, getting AGDC before the committee to answer some of these questions as the representative for the state of Alaska on 8-Star's board of 4 members. In the meantime, this concludes our meeting for today. Yes, Senator Dunbar.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair, if I could just...
Yes, please.
Just 2 quick things before you wrap up. First, I reread the letter, and it does specify the exact month, December 2025, so I apologize for that. The second is, just in terms of a preview for that conversation with Mr. Richards, I think it would be helpful for him to explain to us and to the public why, despite the fact that Alaska owns the gas, despite the fact that we have a seat at the table because it is a public entity, a seat at the table through 8-Star, and 8-Star is a party to these negotiations, we still can't know what the contracts hold. I think it is baffling for a lot of members of the public, this idea that we cannot know the volume or the price when we ourselves not only own the resource, but also have a legal seat at the table through 8-Star. So just a question to put out there for when we eventually have Mr. Richards before us.
Senator Dunbar, that really is a good summary of the questions I'm going to ask him to address. I think this committee, the legislature, needs to be explained clearly. What is the role of 8-Star? What is the role of Glenfarne? And what is the role of the legislature? Any other comments, questions? Senator Klayman.
This is just a follow-up, because I know you and I have had some discussion off the record about there's a point in the future if the line gets built that they'll ask, the state has the option of buying 25%. And I think some of our earlier discussions had been, does that mean we now have 125% total that is compressed to 100, or are we buying that 25% that's owned by 8-Star? On the one hand, we don't know because we haven't seen the agreements. But as I've listened to these discussions, my suspicion is it's more likely that the structure is set up so that we essentially buy 8-Star's interest and become the set 25% owner, and Glen Farm stays at 75%. I don't know because I haven't seen the agreements. That's what I suspect is going on. And I think the interesting challenge, which is part of the question I had asked with the folks from Exxon, that if we were buying 25% in a typical commercial discussion, we would know all the details before we bought. And if we move forward 3 or 4 years and the line is built and we're exercising our 25%, we as the new owner of 25% should be entitled to know all the details of these agreements that we don't see today. And as the potential owner of 25%, I think an argument could be made we ought to know that too. And I find that from a public standpoint, I think it's troubling because we have a very real interest in this gas.
Senator Klayman, my understanding is that Glen Farne will remain the 75% owner. Alaska has the option, has a 6-month window after prices are established, et cetera, to purchase in up to 25%. So if the pipe itself is a $10 billion project, I don't know if that's a number, but that was sort of what it was back in 2014, 25% of that, we could pony up $2.5 billion and own 25% of that. The full project, if it is $60 billion, our 25% would be $15 billion. I don't know, unless our budget changes significantly, I don't know how we do that. But that's the kind of money that we're talking about to have any ownership in this. So that's clarity that I am going to request Mr. Richards to provide to the committee. When will the numbers be known for the state to understand what it would cost to buy in 25% or less? Maybe we only buy in 2%. I don't know. But when? What is the point in time when that will be known? And what is his role in representing the state of Alaska in this project? So I will endeavor to get him here sooner than later, possibly even by Wednesday, though we do have the Regulatory Commission of Alaska also there coming on Wednesday. They're going to be – the question I've asked to them is looking back at 2013 when House Bill 4 passed, the authority of the Regulatory Commission of Alaska was really reined back in terms of oversight over a gas project, and it was done in preparation for the Exxon led project. So where do they stand now, and what authority do we need to reestablish perhaps for the RDC? So, or RCA, pardon me, the RCA. So that will be, that's what I've asked them to address. So any other comments or anything? All right, great. Well, with that then, this committee will stand adjourned. Let the record reflect the time is 4:24 p.m.